Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, God. Thank you, Lord, that we are not perishing and going down to destruction like the world, Lord. We have seen the light and walking in the light. Father, I'm not saying this to be prideful, but I just pray, Lord, for this light, Lord, to just come out into the world, and they surely need it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of the ladies are away on a retreat. That's why you may notice that we've got some extra room in this place. Big hello to the, I saw Juan, hallelujah, welcome. Hasn't seen you for a while, so hallelujah. No. And I saw Alatai all the way from New Zealand, so welcome as well. Good to see you guys. Praise God. You may not heard about the little incident in Sydney, right? But here's the thing. Sorry. Before I was saved, I was lost. I was taking lots of drugs, selling drugs. My life was messed up. And when I got sent to prison, I was locked up. I was only in a minimum security at the time because it was my first sentence. With about 100 plus other criminals. Guess what we talked about? Nothing good. And so there's higher graded prisons out there. And if you get locked up and get sent there, it's about 500, 600 other criminals. In that world, prisons are known as a university for crime. Because if you want to, if you're a small-time drug dealer, you can get connected up with people who sells drugs by the boatload and airplane loads, by container loads. I mean, the real stuff. If you want access to weapons, you've got it. It's a melting pot. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Prison doesn't fight crime. Only Jesus can. I was not turned around because I went to prison. It's because I turned my life around because Jesus came into my life. And so Jesus is the answer to crime. Jesus is the answer to terrorism. Because sending people to prison doesn't turn people around. They just form bigger gangs in there. It is Jesus that tells us, we don't need to kill people or be killed to make our way to heaven. Jesus is our ticket to heaven. Yeah? Jesus doesn't only forgives us, he also changes our nature. I was looking up this clip of something from Haiti, and it's talking about why people are killing each other there. And they're saying that, there's a lot of poverty and people are envious and jealous. So if they see you having something that they don't, they'll kill you for it. Jesus also addresses that. He doesn't want us to walk in envy, jealousy, whatever, in covetousness. He says, walk in the Spirit, walk in love, in joy, in peace, forgive, knowing that all things will pass away. And there's something greater than the things that we see is coming upon us. Amen? Praise God. So this is why I see all this thing in the world, and I'm just adamant and I am fully convinced that the only way we can truly turn our nation around is to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, praying for revival, not a little event, but actually the Spirit of God coming down and turning hundreds and thousands of people and even millions of people to Christ. This is what will turn this nation around. Everything else is a band-aid, right? And I've actually secretly been meditating and just talking to the Lord and really thinking about intercession. And I've been a part of prayer groups in the past where the prayer group was just driven by problems. Like, you know, like I come to the prayer group and the first half an hour was talking about what the devil's doing. The devil's doing this. Oh, let's pray against that. Oh, the devil's doing this. Oh, let's pray against that. And I feel depressed after about, like, you know, 45 minutes of this. I'm like, man, where's Jesus in all of this? And a word of warning to some of you as well. There's some people that are just focused on what the devil's doing, Illuminati, this, that, you know, a conspiracy. And then this particular person I had in mind, he would watch YouTube clip about the Illuminati for 8 hours a day. And I ask him, you know so much about what the devil's doing. Do you know what God is doing? And he couldn't tell me because he doesn't touch the Bible, doesn't pray, just looks at YouTube all day. All right? And so you're not following Jesus. You're following other spirits. And so, can I encourage you, when the world gets darker, you have the light of God inside of you. Amen. Get closer to Him. The end is drawing near, not in a bad way, but I'm excited because Jesus is the hope. Amen. So don't focus too much on what the devil, turn up Jesus. And like people telling me, it's like, but don't you care about... Yes, let's give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. People telling me about conspiracy, and I'm like, don't you care? Don't you concern about the secret agenda? I'm like, I am pressing into God as hard as I can. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm discipling others. I actually can't do more for the kingdom than what I am doing. It's like I'm just doing as much as I can. My whole life is about this. It's like I don't have any other goal. I don't have any other agenda. I don't have a secondary plan. My plan is Jesus. And I'm going for it. I am after it. And I'm encouraging you to come and follow and come along with me. Amen? Praise God. So today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is coming up on the 19th of May. And so I thought I'd preach a sermon just to encourage you guys in the area of the Holy Spirit. So are you ready? Awesome. Let's go. Genesis 1, verse 1 to 2. If you've got the scriptures up there. Don't you love this? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. I looked up that word, without form, again. It means no thing, nothing. It means there's nothing in it, like as in empty. And void, so two words, and that word means empty. So the earth was empty. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. If you guys know, remember John chapter 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay. But here you see as well, in the beginning, it's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was with God. The Spirit of God is God. Can you guys see that? Every once in a while, I love scrolling through Facebook, but I've learned not to engage in these discussions. Because it's the biggest waste of time. But like, it's always someone goes, the word of Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible. It's true. True. But we'll get there later. There's this guy by the name of Athanasius. Have you ever heard of it? He's he was in the Council of Nicaea in 300 AD. A lot of people, just because they looked up YouTube and Facebook, they think that the Council of Nicaea is just pure evil. But actually, that's not the case. Because in this council, the Emperor Constantine gathered all the bishops of the known world at the time. So before that, Christianity was illegal, right? And then Constantine made Christianity legal, and he held a council just to get people get together and just sort their belief and their doctrine out. And so in this council, there was a battle between a bishop by the name of Athanasius. Oh, I got my Greek person here. Athanasius. All right. Hallelujah. Athanasius versus Bishop Arius. So they were having combat because Bishop Arius was saying that Jesus is important, but Jesus is not God. So Athanasius said, no. What you're saying is heresy. Jesus is God. And so he fought for this and then he got exiled. There was a huge battle going on for many decades. He got exiled once. I think he came back and exiled again. And eventually, in the end of his life, he won and he actually came up with this doctrine of Trinity, saying that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is God. So here from Genesis chapter 1, we see that the Spirit of God was with God in the very beginning. The Spirit of God was involved in the creation of the world. This is how it works. Like there's God, and then there's the Spirit of God. Then God speaks. You don't know what I'm thinking unless I speak it. And because I say it, you know what I'm thinking. You don't know what God is thinking unless the Word of God comes. So the Word of God is purely God. It's pure God. The Word of God is God. But the Word of God made God known. Are you following me? So the Word of God. So God speaks, sends His Word into the Holy Spirit. And out of that, all things are created. So from there, we see that the Spirit of God and the Word of God are both crucial. Some people are trying to say the Word of God is more important. We don't need the Spirit of God. Our stream are leaning towards the Spirit of God is more important than the Word of God. But from the Word of God, it says the Spirit of God and the Word of God are crucial. Are you following me? So you can't do with that, you can't do one without the other. There's a saying, if you lift up the Word of God, no Spirit of God, you dry up. If you go for the Spirit of God, no Word of God, you blow up. But we get the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you grow up. Amen. Next verse, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus, this is Jesus after he got crucified. But this is one of the reasons why Jesus got crucified. Because even the Jewish people to this day, they wouldn't refer to God as God. They would, if you see it, they go G-D. And so they call God Hashem, which is the name, because they refuse to say it because they're scared of saying it. So Jesus comes along and goes, Dad. And that's why it infuriates them. It's like, how dare you equating yourself? You're the same substance as God? Who are you? You're a carpenter. You're Mary's son. It's like, we know where your family lives. How dare you say you are the Son of God? So here, after Jesus was resurrected, he goes, baptize people in the name of the Father, name of Lee, and name of the Son. Of the Holy Spirit. Right? If I say that, you probably try to stone me, right? Because I'm off my head. But that's what Jesus said. He came up and goes, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, which is me, and the Holy Spirit. Can you guys see this? Jesus himself equated the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all on one level. Can you guys see that? So the Holy Spirit is God. According to Scripture and according to the Word of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I put down just in my meditation just a little clip about how the New Testament was selected. Some people are curious, but to be included in the New Testament, in the Council of Nicaea, they compiled what we know now as the New Testament. So back then, they don't have the New Testament. Some people, the letters, like the Gospel of John, it's just the Gospel of John floating by itself. It's like a scroll. Are you following me? And so not not many people have all of them together. And so in the Council of Nicaea, they decided what book should go into the new, what we call the New Testament, with the canon. And so in this place, one of the criteria is it had to be apostolic, or translated into a normal language, you had to be there. It's like, who can write book that a scroll that is included? Are they there? So a lot of people live around the time of Jesus. They knew Jesus. They saw the disciples. So they know who the disciples and who are not. So you have to be there. One. Mark and Luke. Mark is a relative of Peter. We saw him in the book of Acts. Mark decided to go back, had a fight with Paul. And that's where Paul and Barnabas broke up, because Barnabas is also related to Peter. Are you following me? Okay. So Luke is an associate of Paul. That's why their writings are included. James and Jude are the half-brothers of Jesus, and that's why their writings are included as well. So that's pretty much the New Testament. All right. Oh, by the way, there's some snacks there for the little children. So if you want some, grab some. Praise God. Adults can have some too. Mark 16, next verse. And Jesus and he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues or new language. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There's usually articles that floats around accusing people of being part of the NA or New Apostolic Reformation. It originates from cessationists, people who doesn't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the belief that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ended. Are you following me? But here in Mark 16, everything that these people are offended with, Jesus tells us to do. They don't like casting out demons. Jesus says, well, first sign, cast out demons. So what do you say about that? So these people claim that they love the word of God, but they shoot down the word of God right here. They claim that it's like, you know, you Pentecostal, you love the Spirit of God. We love the word of God. But the reason we cast out demons is because of the word of God. They will, like the third sign, they will take up serpent. The word serpent there is just feeling conscious with this, a Greek. Where's Marie gone? All right, that word. It is opis. Sound Greek. So that word there, it's a snake, a malicious person, especially Satan. So they will take up serpents. The word serpent there is, it means a sharpness of vision, a snake, a malicious person, brackets, especially Satan. You following me? So it's interesting, isn't it? Two words about Satan. So what I want to speak and address specifically is praying in the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, something that the cessationists are very offended about. Okay, let us go to John chapter 14. Are you guys still alive? John 14, 16 to 18. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. The word another there, it is the word alos. Yeah, I'm getting good at this. It means another of the same kind. The other word for another of a different kind is heteros. Another of a different kind. Are you following me? So Jesus says, I will pray to the Father he will give you another helper, another of the same kind, that he may abide with you forever. So I want to kill this thing right now where Holy Spirit's a she. Do not misgender God. I did LGBTQI sensitivity training once. Did you believe that? I did it. No, I did. I was offended because they want us to really bow down to their belief, but they trample upon our belief. They trample upon Christianity. So I'm like, well, doesn't respect goes both ways? So you want us to respect you, but you trample everything that we believe in. Anyway, it's just a thought. And so the training didn't work for me. I believe that we should treat people with respect and love, and understanding that people just want love and need love. But how you go about it is another question. The word helper, it is the word parakletos. Hey. Parakletos. It means intercessor, advocate, comforter. Intercessor means a person who intervenes on behalf of another, especially through prayer. I think this is why people are trying to oppose praying in the Holy Spirit. Have you ever needed someone to pray for you, and then you post it on Facebook, it's like, hey, I need to pray, and then people start abusing you? It's like, oh, it's because you're in sin. And I'm like, great. That's not helpful. I just needed prayer. But guess what? You have the best intercessor in the world. He is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's never too busy. He's not out taking his family out for lunch. He's not out doing stuff. He's not organizing stuff. He's not busy lying down because he's got a headache or something. He's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he lives inside of you. Woo, how good is that, eh? And it's reliable because he is about as reliable as you are. Let's be honest, right? Have you ever said to someone, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then you don't? You kind of forget. But if the intercessor is in you, you can intercede for you as much as you want. Hello? And this intercessor is really smart. The second word for parakletos is advocate. It means to support or argue a cause, especially in a court of law. You've got a problem and you don't know the legality, you don't know what's going on, you don't know what's opposing it, you don't know what you're supposed to do. So you hire a lawyer. I've been involved with a lawyer once, praise God. The first time I got arrested, because it was a high-profile case, I was assigned a QC, a Queen's Counsel. She was really, really smart, really good. But she was pregnant. And so, After it was leading up to summer. So after summer, she's on maternity leave. And so after summer, I went back to see a lawyer and I was given another lawyer. This guy got his qualification in the back of a Weet-Bix box. I went and saw him, and he's like, my case was like that big. And I saw him the night before the case, and he's like, he never read my file until that moment. I had my file was that big. So he looked at it, and he's like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Oh, no, this is not looking good. And I'm like, bro, why don't you just kill me? And I'm like, you're supposed to be defending me. And he's like freaking out, starts sweating. He's like, oh, no, this doesn't look good. Great, man. Thanks for that. It's like, I am just pumped for tomorrow. Anyway, went to jail the next day. Because didn't even tell me, hey, pack your toothbrush, get some change of underwear. I was in the same outfit for 3 days. Oh my goodness. Thank God for Salvation Army. I came in. I go, hey, I've got no change of clothes. And they gave me some underwear. Praise God. Oh. Anyway, you have a king's council. The king himself is defending you. So if you've got a cause that you need someone to advocate, to rally behind, you pray in the Holy Ghost. This is why the people, it's like, I think it's the demon trying to resist this. Can't pray in tongues in the church. I thought the church is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. Right? It's like, oh, don't do that. You're grieving the Lord. Why? It's an amazing prayer. So when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're employing the advocate. He knows what's happening in the heavenly realms. He knows what is the laws of God. He knows how to, like, what pleases God, what displeases God. And then when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you are praying correctly. He knows how to win the case. So why wouldn't you want to do that? Amen? And thirdly, comforter. This means someone who provides consolation. So if you are feeling down and you need someone to encourage you, pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well done. Yeah, thank you. If you are depressed, if you are sad, if you are down, you need an encouragement, you need a consolation, pray in the Holy Spirit. Hey, I know sometimes people go, hey, can't you wave a magic wand and then make everything go away? But God wants to empower us. He has given us the comforter. So I reiterate that the Holy Spirit's a he, not a she, not an it. It's not a force, it's a he. Amen. And it says, the final one was the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you as orphans. Again, there's so many things I can unpack from here. So when the Holy Spirit comes, we are not orphans. So the Holy Spirit is like a father. He's a father. He's a spirit of the Father. So you're not an orphan. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit comes and gives you identity. He gives you direction. He gives you correction. And I think one of the signs of being an orphan, because an orphan spirit is someone who gets their identity from what they do. So the minute you get corrected, it feels like rejection. Because you're so used to living by what you do. When you get corrected that what you do is wrong, you go, then I'm wrong. Then there's something wrong with me. Hello. But God... because there's something's right. Hey, watch this. We are free in the gospel to do whatever, but you're not free from the consequences of your action. Amen. You're free to do anything you want, but you're not free from the consequences of the things that you do. Amen. That's why Jesus comes along and goes, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. The word for sin is kata, means going the wrong way. So therefore, to not be kata-ing, you have to change the direction. So if you keep going the wrong way and say, God, I'm sorry, you're still going to go the wrong way. Hello. So you need to change your way. And once you change the direction of where you are heading, you're no longer sinning because you're heading towards God. And so you go, which way should I point at? Jesus says, I am the way. You follow me. So righteousness is about following Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Whew, is this all right? Romans 8, verse 26-27. This is my favorite scripture. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the Spirit according to the will of God. You see that? It's so, very similar to that scripture that I mentioned before, John 14, 16 to 18, about the Holy Spirit being a parakletos, about the intercessor and the advocate, isn't it? Because it says, if we don't know how to pray for something, pray in the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will intercede for you through your own mouth with groanings which cannot be understood sometimes. Now, he who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is. So the Holy Spirit knows the problems. The Holy Spirit knows the solution. And when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're releasing the solution to the problem. I'll just preach to you, Lynn. And these guys are getting excited. All right, I'm gonna do something. Hey, load up that clip. I need you to close your eyes, everyone. Close your eyes. Look down. Close your eyes. Can you play that clip, please? I've prepared. And just listen. For this to work properly, I need you to close your eyes.
Кыш кыш кыр кер кыр кел кыл кылын кыска сөз ким оқыйт тез. Арқада алтар қар бар, қырқада қырғар қар бар, қырғар қарда ағар қар бар, алтар қарда марқар қар бар. Әбдіреде әбігерәтеш отыр, әбігерәтеш отырған әбдірені әжем ашып отыр. Гүлім гүлге қарап күлім деді. Көгілдір гүлге қонған аралар гүл деді. Доп деп, дөп деп. Ескекті ескекші еседі, ескекші ескекті еседі.
Hey. That's the Kazakhstani 6 o'clock news. That's a real language, right? Dop di, dop di. Sorry to all the Kazakhstani. Sorry, Borat. You have to be old to understand that joke. Dop di, dop di. That's gibberish. That's not tongues. How do you know? Are you a linguist? I could be speaking a dialect of Kazakhstan. Hey, I'm serious, man. He's like, that's not a language. That's not a language. How do you know? How do you know? Right? I came from Indonesia. I know that in the island of Java, there's even that little island before they speak Indonesian now. It's like a Bahasa Indonesia. It's like a common language that unifies it. But before 1945, where it became a nation of Indonesia, there's dialects. There's like kingdoms. Like, you know, Western Java is a kingdom. There's this kingdom. And then within that kingdom, there's dialects. I've spoken to an Aboriginal person. And she says that even Australia, it is made up out of about 250 Aboriginal nation. Many with dialects. Are you following me? Even recently, we went to an ACC thing, a conference, and Pastor Alan Davies, I learned that he's from Wales. And we see Wales as part of England. Well, I think anyway. Didn't realize that Wales used to be a kingdom with its own language. Are you following me? Ireland has its own language. And so we see this, that even within an area that we think is just one homogeneous people, it's actually made up out of different nation and different languages. We know this in China. We know this in Europe. We know this everywhere. So the point is, how do you know what you're saying is really not a language? That's what I'm saying. You don't know every language in the world. I don't know what I'm saying, but it could be saying something. Are you following me? And there was this one time I was asking God about the gift of intercession, and I asked God to give me an assignment. So about a couple of years ago, I think a few years ago, I can't remember when, I woke up in the middle of the night about 2:30 to 3:30 in the morning, and I was woken up with the vision of a school shooting. I didn't see the shooting, but I saw people running out of what I know is a school building, and it felt like someone kicked me in the solar plexus, and I cried out, like I was the mother of a girl that's been shot. So I was sleeping. Next thing you know, I woke up with, and then it was like sadness to the pit of your stomach. It was like a, no! It was like if your daughter just been shot and you're crying out for it to not happen. It was like that. So I woke up. I was sleeping. I woke up like that. Then I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So I just prayed in tongues for about half an hour. Then I fell back asleep. The next day, I Googled the internet and I searched for school shooting. Turns out there was a school shooting in the US. I Googled the time zone. It was exactly 12 hours. And so when I got woken up at 2:30 in the morning, it was 2:30 in the US at that region. There was a school shooting. Yeah. After that, I said, God, I don't know if I want any more of this. But the point is, I was asking God about the gift of intercession, and I tapped into it. And it's heavy duty. It's, you're not praying for someone. It's not like I'm praying for you over there. It's I stepped into the very people in it. Then I cried out from within that circumstance. And I cried out to God, not for someone else, as though I am in it. And the intensity was so, I can't even describe it. I can't imagine getting that too many times. Like, I just wouldn't sleep. You know, you wake up like just messed up because you've been in it. And so intercession, that's available. No, I mean like, oh man, heavy duty stuff. But praise the Lord. Luke 11. I won't go there. What is the will of God? So I'm just going to read this quickly. 3 John verse 1 to 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. So praying in the Holy Spirit is praying the will of God. So what is the will of God? That you prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. So you can pray for yourself. The will of God is that none shall perish. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So if this moves you, which it should, you pray in the Holy Spirit, because the will of God is that none shall perish. And John chapter 17, verse 21 to 23. This is Jesus praying. Father, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have love, and love them as you have loved me. You can pray in the Holy Spirit to make this a reality. Praying in the Holy Spirit changes things. It releases the kingdom of God and the will of God on the earth. John Knox, he's the founder of the Presbyterian denomination. It was said about him, the prayers of John Knox causes Queen Mary to say that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than she feared all the armies of Scotland. John Wesley prayed, and revival came to England, sparing the nation from the horrors of French Revolution. The Methodist movement started from 4 people, and by the end of his life, ended with about 100,000 members. Now it's gone on to about 80 million, last I checked, but anyway, lost the Holy Spirit. John Wesley used to say that he thinks very little of a man that prays less than 4 hours per day. He would rise at 4 a.m. to seek God, and for the first 4 hours of the day, he would seek him. And in his later years, John Wesley was known to spend up to 8 hours per day. Jonathan Edwards prayed and revival spread throughout the American colonies. History has been changed time after time after time because of prayer. So this is why we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this is why we need to pray. Amen. We are safe. If you believe in Jesus, your eternal destiny is secured. And we're about to give people a chance to accept that if they haven't done so. But for those of you who are believers in Christ, God has given us His name. God has given us His Spirit. God has purchased all things. We are now the body of Christ. You know how people say, like, you know, the Lord will build His church. But guess what? You're the body though. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. If you don't speak, Jesus is not speaking. If you're not laying hands, Jesus is not laying hands. If you don't go, Jesus is not going. Yeah? Some people say, well, we just lay back and Jesus does it all. Kind of true. He has completed all works from the foundation of the earth, but He wants us to obey. He told us to go. So right now in Ephesians 1, verse 13 to 14, it says, in Him you also trusted, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit is like an engagement ring. When you accept Jesus, you are saying yes to God. And God is putting a wedding ring on you. He's the seal of our promised inheritance. The word redemption means the act of regaining or gaining possession in exchange for a payment. When you accept Jesus, you are accepting His healing. It's like He has paid for healing. He has paid for your freedom. He has paid for salvation and forgiveness. Acceptance in God has been paid for. Eternal life has been paid for. Union with God has been paid for. And the world itself has been purchased by God. There's coming a day when the Lord and the King of Kings will return. It's coming soon. And He will take back every piece of land. Bill Gates doesn't own it. You name it, whoever doesn't own it. Jesus is the real owner. And when He comes back, He's taking everything back. And He gives it to whomever He wishes. That's the inheritance that we have in Christ. The world is falling apart. It's full of broken and hurting people. So we should place our trust in Him, looking forward the day when He returns to a world without end. We're going to give Him a body that doesn't decay anymore. No more aches, no more pain, no more separation. You're going to be embraced by your Father. There's love, there's joy, there's peace. Glorious, no more death. That's the inheritance. The world that you see right now, it's a broken world. Adam sinned against God and ate from the tree of knowledge. Death entered the universe. We became separated. We became independent. We did our own thing. We're doing our own things. We make up our own mind. We decide this is good, this is bad. And this is what the world you're seeing. Selfishness, jealousy, pride. It's ruling the world. So right now, Jesus is calling you. Can I get every head bow? Every eyes closed, please. Right now, Jesus is knocking in the door of your heart. Are you being weighed down by hopelessness? Are you being weighed down by anger? Come and give it to Jesus. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus. The reason I took drugs was because I was depressed. I was failing in life and I was sad. And those little pills caused me to be happy for a couple of hours. Then when the pill wore out, I'm sad and I'm broke. But there's no answer. I promised to not do it again, And within a couple of days, I'm back on it. Cycle. Going down and down and down until everything just imploded. Then I found Him. And I have joy. I am filled with hope. I have great future. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm overcoming some giants in my life. Would you like that? If that's you and God's knocking in your heart, I feel there's someone here, your heart's racing. If that's you, lift up your hand. Say, you know what? I want Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Jesus is knocking in the door of your heart and He wants to come in. He says, when you accept Jesus, you will no longer be an orphan. You will have a father. Maybe you never had a dad. Maybe your family was broken up by divorce. And there's no cure in the world. Jesus wants to be your cure. So lift up your hand. Who is that? Lift up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're just going to... Can I get everyone to stand up, please? And we're going to pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross to redeem me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for restoring me. Come into my heart and fill me with your Spirit. Take away my shame, my sin, and all sadness. Let me know and understand that I am your child. In Jesus' mighty name. Can we give these new people a round of applause, please? And if you pray that prayer for the very first time, can I get you to be so brave and come forward, please? Can everyone just turn to your neighbor and say, hey, did you pray that prayer for the very first time? And if you did, I'd love to come forward with you and stand with you. Can I just get the children to just get to the sides, please? Thank you. So if anyone prayed that prayer for the very first time, I would like to come up the front. We love to get to know you. We love to connect with you. We'll give you a Bible, teaches you what the first steps are. And just really love on you. Welcome to the family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well done, well done. Come on, come on, come on. Welcome, brother. Come forward. Come forward, man. Come on, let's give them another round of applause. Thank you, Lord. Welcome, man. Thank you, welcome. Praise God. Woo, I feel joy. Let's just pray with them. Let's stretch forth your hand. Father, I just pray right now, Lord. Thank you for these souls, God, that accepted the invitation. God, I pray you just take away every shame, God, every rejection that they feel in their heart, and let them just have this tremendous feeling of your love, God, and your acceptance, God. I bless them right now. I just pray, Lord, that you guard them in their walk, Lord. Lead them and strengthen them, God. Strengthen God in Jesus' mighty name. Let's go. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.